the barriers that we identified and that were consistent with other countries as well were that female, they have necessary skill. However, they tend to believe that they lack these skills and knowledge and experience to start a business. And we found that women have a fear of failure. They are risk averse. They calculate their steps, whereas male just look and like it and like it, the idea, and they jump right at it. And we also found out that female tend to have smaller, and if there are networks, they tend to be less effective for a number of reasons. And then another one is your obvious cultural and societal barriers that women deal with. But another most important one was consistently women struggle to find finances for their business. And the way finance or funders view entrepreneurship, they trust the male more in running a business than they would with a female. So those are the barriers that we identified in the study.
Welcome to the Mesh Startup Podcast. My name is Mushinoda. This is a podcast for Africa's opportunity seekers, problem solvers, future shapers, world builders, and entrepreneurs. This podcast is meant to be a platform to encourage, empower, and educate young people in Africa on entrepreneurship, startups, and business.
My name is Dr. Nondobego Mabizela from the Alan Gray Opus Foundation, an organization that was founded to contribute to an equitable South Africa flourishing with meaningful employment. So we really try to cultivate high impact and responsible entrepreneurship in South Africa. We also offer scholarships to give people access to education over and above training them to be entrepreneurs. So what do I do for the organization? I'm the head of impact assurance. What that means is I head up a function that's responsible for monitoring and evaluation. We do research for the organization. We do transporting through business intelligence, as well as managing the knowledge and data for the organization. So we transport, we enhance information to produce insights, and we celebrate the organization's success. And we also measure impact on an ongoing basis, so which means we support the program's implementation to ensure that our interventions are leading to intended impact.
That's incredible. Mm-hmm. What does high impact entrepreneurship mean to you?
Yeah, so we specifically referring to high impact because high impact businesses result in massive job creation. And just going back to our vision, where we just really want to contribute towards alleviating poverty in South Africa through job creation. So through these high impact and responsible businesses, a number of jobs will be created, and we respond to NDP goals by the government, where they're focusing on generating employment in South Africa.
That's incredible. Mm. You know, just before we get into this research that you guys recently did,
yes.
Can you give a brief sort of overview of the programs you have available for entrepreneurs in the organization?
Yeah. So I once again will select young individuals across South Africa who have the potential to become high impact entrepreneurs, who want to be change agents, and who want to make a difference in South Africa. So our support is split into two. We have individuals who are in high school, and we have a program for university students where in 1 year we invite in about 200 program participants. So currently we have about 1,194 in total. So the support we give them is full academic support, where we pay full cost of tuition, full cost of accommodation, meals, books, tutoring, whatever you can think, whatever the needs are for them being at an institution. But our main focus is the entrepreneurial support that I was talking about, where they have access to our online learning campus. They get mentorship one-on-one, that wraparound support that gets towards really supporting them and ensuring that they are successful individuals, both academically and entrepreneurially. They also have access to a community of other high-impact, responsible individuals. And they also get access to entrepreneurial seminars, workshop, and other annual events. So it's really a comprehensive approach towards supporting an individual. And a lot of money and energy was invested to support these young South Africans.
It definitely sounds that way, mm-hmm. and like a really, really deep and meaningful investment in young people as well,
yes.
which you don't necessarily see across the ecosystem where, you know, something is available to high school students and university students focusing on entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
Why do you think that was important? You know, because, you know, the ecosystem often is just looking at people that have, you know, they've gone through education and are now sort of in the working world and
yeah.
already starting businesses. And we try to enable them. But you guys specifically focus on very young people, you know, high school and university.
Yeah.
Why is that so important?
Yeah, it's important because, again, like I mentioned, it goes back to the vision Mr. Alan Gray, our founder, had at the beginning, where we identified those initiatives that would really shift the needle and shift the dial and make a big difference in South Africa. So we knew that from the get-go that it's through education and it's through empowering them to be entrepreneurs. And those who don't end up being entrepreneurs, they end up making a difference wherever it is where they go. So we exist not only in South Africa, we're in Swaziland, Namibia, and Botswana. So it's really aggressively tackling these issues. And why such a young age? It's because we realize that entrepreneurship, number one, can be taught. And we start young to give these young individuals an opportunity to experiment, to make mistakes, and not only encounter these issues and challenges associated with starting a business when they are much older. So we do not have such a larger pool of entrepreneurs taking up, of South Africans taking up entrepreneurship, because they never had that experience. They never had that learning by experience, making mistakes. They only start engaging in entrepreneurship when there's a lot relying on them. There's a lot that's at stake. So really, this is an opportunity that empowers them. It mentors them. And they have time to start and fail and shape their ideas over time.
That is so true. I think it's such a overlooked perspective that, you know, giving someone time to experiment, to fail, to learn, to grow within who they are through mentorship and support, I think it gets overlooked a lot in the entrepreneurial journey.
Definitely.
And I think it's really, really valuable that you guys think about this and you think meaningfully about it.
Yes.
So, you know, a few weeks ago, I got an email and someone said, hey, look, we've done this incredible research, specifically focusing on the challenges that women face in entrepreneurship.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I get a bunch of emails of people saying, hey, can you interview this person and that person?
Mm-hmm.
But this stuck out mostly for me because it was focused on something that I think the ecosystem really misses sometimes,
mm-hmm.
which is really focusing on women. Can you talk a bit about the research and what you guys found?
Okay. So I'll start by explaining why we decided to commission and conduct this research. So first of all, as I mentioned, we select from a diverse pool of individuals in South Africa, and we have managed to attract a larger pool of females. So the expectation was that we'd have more female taking up entrepreneurship as aggressively as male were seemed to be doing. However, our experience was, yes, we did have female entrepreneurs, but male were taking up this opportunity opportunity in larger numbers compared to female. And we wanted to address this, and we wanted to support our female entrepreneurs. So the study looked at what are the barriers that women are facing, why are they not taking up entrepreneurship, what's motivating them, and what can we do to support, so you don't only end up at unpacking and understanding these barriers. You wanted to turn them into enablers so that we have a bigger pool of female entrepreneurs. So that's where the study started, and we engaged with different stakeholders who had similar issues. We unpacked the research. We looked at other countries outside South Africa. What are they doing to support this? And what are they unpacking as barriers and enablers of entrepreneurship, specifically looking at female? And the barriers that we identified and that were consistent with other countries as well were that female, they have necessary skill. However, they tend to believe that they lack these skills and knowledge and experience to start a business. And we found that women have a fear of failure. They are risk averse. They calculate their steps, whereas male just look and like it and like it, the idea, and they jump right at it. And we also found out that female tend to have smaller, and if there are networks, they tend to be less effective for a number of reasons. And then another one is your obvious cultural and societal barriers that women deal with. But another most important one was consistently women struggle to find finances for their business. And the way finance or funders view entrepreneurship, they trust the male more in running a business than they would with a female. So those are the barriers that we identified in the study.
Yeah, there's a lot to unpack there. But I just want to start with the phrase that you mentioned, which was turning those barriers to entry into enablers, right? So the things that are commonly blocking women from growing into entrepreneurship, changing those things into things that they can use to actually go into it. Can you go into a bit of what those sort of barriers might be and how we can sort of possibly just like shift the way in which they work to make them benefit women more in their entrepreneurial pursuit?
Yeah. So in doing this, we interviewed women who have not started business and understanding what those barriers were for them. And we also engage with women who have started businesses and are successful at it, just to understand how they turned these barriers into enablers. So what came about from that, and we have as a result used it to enhance or to change our program or our support towards them. So one enabler looked at the education skills, the experience, and we have built into our program like an education and experiential learning and sessions that are geared towards empowering women. And another thing that we did in our studies is we did not exclude male, because we are going to be successful in tackling these issues when we include everybody who is a player and who is responsible for some of these derailers as well. So we did include the view of the man and the perception of the man, where they felt as well that women need more role models in entrepreneurship. So we're needing to profile these success stories for women so that they can realize that it's really important. So women need the support. We need to elevate this problem and tackle aggressively the funding issue. Like, who do we partner with? How do we partner for impact? Be it the government, the banks. That is why for our ecosystem forum and the round table, it did not only include us sharing and unpacking. There were other members of the society in the media who want to partner with us in just exposing this, is the choice of word for now, and just making sure that there is awareness.
Yeah. And I think that awareness is critical, right? Because I think that helps people really understand that there is a challenge here and more people need to be focusing on it. And one of the things you mentioned was around access to finance and possibly financial institutions looking at women starting businesses as being a riskier investment than, say, a man doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
Why do you think that exists? And also, you know, how are we still here at this day and age? You know, it's so terrifying to think that financial institutions still think this way. And even, you know, investment companies still think this way.
So, to encourage investment in women's businesses, we really need to first realize that this is a systematic issue. It's a systematic challenge. It's historic. And it starts with education, number one. Educating both the women and the men to realize the importance for women entrepreneurship and the women to understand how they navigate the finance world. Earlier on, I did refer to a higher number or a higher percentage of male being successful at securing funding for their businesses compared to a female who had a smaller chance of succeeding. And I think over and above just the education, it's just to realize that the biggest motivation for women starting businesses is to respond and to give back to communities. It largely responds to societal issues. It's not just about them getting money and for financial security. So the more women we have starting businesses, it will help alleviate some of the challenges we're facing in the country.
That is such a valuable insight as well, just that women are starting businesses not just to, you know, make money, but to actually solve meaningful problems. With the of programs that you have, where you're really focusing on high-impact entrepreneurs that not only just, you know, have a really great business case, but have a really big investment in solving big problems, what sort of things have you seen that women are building that have been really, really fascinating to you?
Sorry, I missed the last part of your question. Could you please repeat?
Oh, no worries. I'm going to have to edit this really, really well.
Okay.
Cool.
Yes.
So with women really focusing on solving really big problems in society as being the really big motivation for why they're starting their businesses, what are the things that you've seen with the entrepreneurs that you've engaged with around the problems that they're solving and the things that they're really focused on?
So, yeah, I mean, as mentioned before, a larger pool of them respond to societal need. Like, I can mention a number of business, but I'm afraid if I mention a few, it will appear like I have favorites. but what we're seeing with, with females who have started businesses is, again, responding to societal needs. And over and above that, the willingness women have in sharing their learnings from the journey that have that they've taken is really overwhelming. And we're seeing it in our society where they come back and they train and they teach and they even mentor other females. So it's really encouraging that they don't only about the care, they don't only care about the society that's helping them generate income, but they come back to share their learnings. And it's one of the things that was highlighted and we have built into our program to say we need more role models, we need more mentorship for other potential females. And exposure to startup and entrepreneurs, like I said, the benefits and the privilege that we have for our program is we are with them when they are still studying, when they're still naive, when they're still out there and trying things out to fail. So the more we encourage them this side, that allows them to make mistake, the better. And so one thing I need to mention, though, that we have highlighted as a success is the foundation has more female taking up entrepreneurship compared to other similar organizations. in the country, and compared to other industries that we have compared ourselves, even in internationally. So we're doing something. We're just not getting a pool as big as males.
Yeah. What do you think organizations, I mean, you've spoken about how you guys have, you know, much better, you're doing much better at this, but how do you think entrepreneurial programs, incubators, funders, how do you better design programs for women and really making sure that it enables and empowers them in the way that they really need it?
Yeah. So first of all, you do not design it any different for female. You just make sure that they have the same access as male do. So meaning access to networks, access to finances, and we also need to aggressively tackle all the cultural issues that stand in the way of women being successful in entrepreneurship. So yes, talking about more females being successful is one of them, but you do not create a special world that is safe for them to succeed. You just need to give them the same opportunities that made male being successful in entrepreneurship. So it starts there with education, with training, with motivation, with addressing all the barriers that I was talking about, turning them into enablers.
Yeah. So I think like my thinking is like making it more biased towards women. I think the ecosystem has been so incredibly focused on just like enabling men way more. And like how do you even begin to really broaden the access to resources, networks, mentors, specifically for women and meeting them where they are?
Yeah. By talking about it, by having more of these conversations, by having more of the media roundtable, but just creating this awareness so that it gets to the right ears. The media needs to know. You need to know. We need to speak out about organizations such as ours. People need to know about these opportunities, and we need more of these opportunities. So I agree with you. We need to elevate it to these exciting conversations that we're having today. So the more we talk about it, the more we create awareness, the more we support, the more we're loud about it is what's gonna help resolve this issue.
Yeah.
And we know what it takes for one to be successful in entrepreneurship. We just need to make sure that we expose as many females to it and make sure that they benefit from it and they are supported in that journey as possible.
Yeah. That's so meaningful. I wish we could go through each and every data set and conclusion you guys have built out, but obviously we can't do that. But I think I really, really encourage everyone that listens to the podcast just to take the time to read through everything you guys have really put together.
Thank you so much. But what I can share lastly is that the report that we put together is not confidential. So if anybody needs it, we're willing to share because it unpacks the barriers, like I've mentioned, the enablers, and how we're supporting our own community so that we have a bigger pool of female entrepreneurs. So very willing to share the learnings.
Yeah. Was there anything that surprised you in the data and the research?
Yeah. So the number one, the differing view from people who we engaged with, there doesn't seem to be that sweet spot of if you do this, then it's all going to fall into place. So people are motivated by different things. So we just need to pivot as the needs take us. So female have different challenges, even those who have been successful. I think that's the challenge with this thing, is there isn't that sweet spot. There isn't that if we do the magic wand, if we do this, then it all falls into place. We wish there was. So that's what's challenging about this.
Yeah, I really hope that this becomes like a catalyst for people to really start thinking more consciously about how to really help way more women get into business, building the things that they believe in, because I really think this is the most important of work. What is your hope for the ecosystem in South Africa or across the continent in terms of, you know, the state of entrepreneurship for women. What hopes do you have for how the ecosystem can evolve and change in order to better serve women and really, really start tackling these challenges and turning those barriers into those enablers?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So first of all, I just wish our news headlines could change. We've been reading the same news for as long as I can remember, and we need to start directing our attention and efforts towards creating awareness around entrepreneurship and its positive benefits. So we need to have the ecosystem talking to the relevant stakeholders. I keep going to, we need to partner for impact. For the good of the country, we really, really need to aggressively respond to these issues. So interestingly, this study was produced last year, but the conversations that we have had with different stakeholders have been endless, and they will continue until we address this issue, until we have these barriers becoming enablers.
Thank you so much for your time. I really, really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mashudu. It's been a great conversation.